How many people have already had an encounter with God this morning? I want to talk to you briefly about the trip that we took into Nicaragua and then bring a word that the Lord really put onto my heart. And I've been releasing it all morning as we've been talking about. I believe that the Lord wants to talk to you today about raising the bar of your belief. I believe he wants to raise the bar or the level of your belief of what's capable and specifically who you're putting it into. And that's what I love about what you're getting put in your hand is, it says pray until something happens. Well, when we pray until something happens, it's because we believe that God is answering. This, if we would come into this mindset, it's impossible to pray without something happening, then maybe it would change the way we pray, right? Like, it's not just like, wow, I hope he hears this. Let me throw it up there. But no, like, God, I know that you hear me. I know you want to answer the prayers of your people. You said to ask for anything in your name. So I'm going to pray for breakthrough right now. And I know something's happening, even when I can't see it. But I'm going to keep praying and pressing until I do see transformation that takes place. And we were so honored. We went to Nicaragua with our friends, Tim and Elizabeth Darnell, who are the senior leaders of Hill Country Church up in San Marcos. The Lord over the last several years has really begun to knit our hearts together in what God's doing in this region. Every quarter we have an event that's held at their church. It's a regional gathering of pastors that are believing for a radical breakthrough, for revival and awakening in our corridor. And Tim and Elizabeth have been just a part, not just a part of it, but they've been a part of spearheading that to see it happen. And so there's a couple, Jen and Phil Foster, who've been here and spoken before, who've been ministering in Nicaragua for 5 years now. And we also support them financially as a mission. And they do amazing things. But we went in, and a year ago, I just want to tell you, a year ago, Jen had a massive aneurysm in her brain. And Nicaragua is the poorest country in Central America. I think it's the fourth or fifth poorest country in the world. And so if you can imagine going to a hospital or clinic that looks like a rusted out shed, that was the level of what was available to them. But the Lord had his hand on Jen, and many of you prayed for her for a miracle. And I can tell you that she's about 80% recovered. And not did she just not die, but the Lord is doing things to refreshen the calling on her life. And they're going to be coming back in a couple months for just a respite, and we're going to pour into them. But this is a trip for us to go down there and see what is the Lord doing in Nicaragua. Kelly and I specifically, how can we, if we're called, which we are, to send people out, I'm not going to take it lightly anymore. Not that I did before, but I don't think I had a level of grasp or understanding that for a lot of the years we were so consumed with really making sure that we were building a firm foundation here in our church and legacy, and we began to send people out. But the Lord gave us a paradigm for how do we really care for people who are called to the mission field. And that goes for Paul and Hilda, it goes for Jerry and Christy, that goes for Phil and Jen, Catherine Taylor, who's down in Mexico right now going through language school and where she's going to be called into, Taylor Sullivan, who's with YWAM down in South Africa. Like, we're not just going to give a gift and say, okay, see ya, and I'll pray for you, right? But do I care for you in a level where I know you and I know the cares and concerns? Does the Lord wake me up in the middle of the night because something's going on in your life, in your mission field, and I begin to pray for you? Do I know you at that level? And the Lord began to expand for us, raising the level of belief. And we were given an opportunity to preach in a church on Sunday, which was like being home. I'm going to tell you right now, the pastor, Dennis Miranda, he's 27 years old, but he's got such a call in his life. And every worship song they did was songs that we do. It was just all in Spanish. And the presence of the Lord was so thick when we walked into it. And it was awesome because before I left, I heard this. Nothing good can come out of Nicaragua. Kind of sound like nothing. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? When Jesus came out of Nazareth, and when I got on the ground and we're asking questions, we're talking to them, and they're saying, we were asking about education and a couple of the men who work with the Fosters down there, and saying like somebody who gets their degree in Costa Rica or Guatemala, or anywhere else can come into Nicaragua and use that degree and get a job and probably have a leg up. But if somebody gets a degree from the university in Nicaragua, they can't go somewhere else because nobody will accept it. And it felt like this mindset had been settled in that, well, we're just going to be that place. That nothing good can come out of here. We can bring stuff in, but we can never produce something. And what I began to see was the Lord was doing is he wanted to raise the level of belief. Like what I want to talk to you about this morning is, and I think the Lord wants to really challenge you, is what bar have you set of your belief in what is capable in Jesus Christ? When you pray, at what level does your faith hit that ceiling? When you are doing your finances and you're trusting him for the provide, at what level do you start to hit that ceiling? When you're praying for healing because you get a diagnosis or somebody in your family does, and at what level is your belief in his capacity to do great things, where is it hitting? Maybe it's not even bad things. Maybe it's like he's wanting to expand what is possible inside of you. And you become to get offended by him because he's doing something that's different than your comfortable box. And are you willing to believe that he's wanting to do something greater even when you're uncomfortable and even when it offends you? Like I feel like what was happening in that country and as we began to pray over them and release several words over them, and it was amazing. On Tuesday night, we were speaking to their leaders, and there's not air conditioning, except for God's air conditioning. And behind where I was preaching or teaching was the platform, and there's this open door, and they had the Nicaraguan flag that was sitting there. And the wind had been blowing all outside, but it was kind of this lightly going. But when we came into this, the presence of the Lord was so thick that you could feel the winds of change coming. And all of a sudden, we begin to just release this word of saying, it's a lie from the pit of hell that nothing good comes out of Nicaragua. But instead, the Lord wants to look at you as the crown jewel on his belt. The Lord began to release the word into me. I realized that's what it's like here at the west side of New Braunfels. I've heard it said about the west side of New Braunfels that nothing good can come out. Or that it will be the darkest place always, or there's always going to be poverty, there's always going to be fear, there's always going to be drugs, there's always going to be destruction, there's always going to be lack, there's always going to be people disconnected. And can I tell you, that makes me mad. I am not satisfied with that, because it's a lie from the pit of hell. And as I began to declare over them, like, no, it's time to change the level of your belief of what is possible in you, in Jesus Christ. Like what God wants to do inside of your heart and inside of your life and through your life, it's time to raise that bar, not to be satisfied anymore of where you've been at, no longer to repeat the lies of the past. And anytime you begin a sentence that says, well, it's hard to do this, that's a lie, and you're repeating and coming into agreement with a lie. You're believing a lie. I think the Lord wants to destroy that belief system. And he wants to raise inside of you that when we read through the Gospels, when we read through the book of Acts and Jesus says, you'll do greater things, that it's not just this philosophical decision that, yeah, he's going to do some greater things. Ha ha, yeah, that sounds good, preacher. Yeah, woohoo. But nothing happens. What I'm telling you is he wants to raise a level of belief that if Jesus said it, he meant it. And if he means it, he's going to provide for it. And he's looking for people who are no longer willing to become subject to this barricade, this lie in their mind. Like, I believe that, especially those who are in a charismatic, spirit-filled background, connection with the Holy Spirit is not the problem. I really don't believe that. I think we know how to sense his presence. I think we know how that the Holy Spirit's coming and engaging with that. Where I think what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to get a hold of our souls, our mind, our will, and emotions that put a limit on what the Spirit of God wants to do inside of your life. And it's going to require you to think differently afterwards, to repent, to no longer be subject again to the traditions of man. In fact, there's this verse, I was reading it last night, and I didn't include it in my notes, but the Lord just reminded me again during worship. And it comes out of Colossians chapter 2. Let me get it up here real quick. It says this, verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, and according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ himself. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of every principality and power." And so I think what happens is we come underneath this bondage or this lie or this mindset of both the traditions of men, which would be, well, God doesn't want to speak that way, or we have to do it this way. Like, I'm functionally, if we don't do it this way, then God's not going to come. And he's like, no, don't make a religious rite out of it. Like, it's relational. And the elementary principles of the world. So I believe in practical solutions. I believe in practical teaching. We need to get there. But if we limit ourselves to the practicality or the principles of this world, we're going to miss the supernatural world that wants to come in and transform that. So it means you've got to raise the level of your belief. And so as I was releasing this word over them and over that church, all of a sudden the flag, and I didn't know it, all of a sudden they start pointing behind me. And that flag starts violently, the Nicaraguan flag violently waving behind them. And the wind of change came in because God wants a people who will really believe he is who he says he is. Here's the thing about belief. What you believe about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will really transform the way you live, the way you relate with people, what you think about yourself, what you think about the world around you, and ultimately it will impact what you feel about your future. Too much of the church is so excited about the rapture because they're trying to escape from the realities of a dark world. Yesterday I had a knock on the door, and two Jehovah Witnesses were there to share their faith. And let me tell you this, I so appreciate that. Like, right out of the gate, I said, guys, I have such a value for you guys that you're willing to take what you believe and go and share it. And as they began to ask me questions, he asked his question, and it was funny that his reaction, because so what do you think about the future and the world around us? And I said, it's getting better. He came in, I looked like, what you talking about, Willis? I mean, he was not expecting it. And I said, because in Jesus, it was finished. It says, his government, there will be no end to. His influence, there's not going to be end to. That there might be pockets of darkness, but I don't believe that Jesus is coming back for an anemic church. I don't think Jesus is coming back for a battered bride who's afraid of her own shadow. I believe he's coming back for a bride who knows who she's married to and what rights she has in him. I believe he's coming back for a church that understands that they're the body that's going to be in proportion to the head. If Jesus is the head of the church, he's not looking to be a bobblehead. Have you ever gone down on the Riverwalk and they got those artists and they'll do a caricature art of you, and the head is like, you know, this really, really big, and the body's like real small. It's disproportionate. And I feel like that's this level of belief that comes into it. Like, we're okay with that, of being with a big head and real little body. And that's not what God's building. I think he wants to touch you in a way that in your marriage, in the way you raise your children, in the way that you impact the world around you, that you begin to believe that nothing is impossible. All things are possible through God. All possible are those who believe that he is. In fact, there's a verse that Jesus is, he gives when he's going to heal somebody, and he says, all you have to do is believe that he is. Well, what does that mean? When Jesus is being arrested, and the guards come up to him and say, hey, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, I am he. And at that word, they fell on the floor. Don't tell me that people don't fall in the presence of God. When the great I am comes into the room and you have an encounter, whether you receive it or not, there's going to be something that happens. There better be something that happens when Jesus walks into the room. And we don't want to limit that, because he is the great I am. And so you must believe that God really is who he says he is, that Jesus really is who he says he is. And as I was engaging with the Jehovah Witnesses, and I've got a history and a background where I know some things, and I just began to say, hey, guys, let me ask you a question. Who do you say that Jesus is? And they began to give me a religious answer that I know was cloaking the real meaning. And I said, let me just stop you right there. I said, I've had a friend who's been Jehovah's Witness, and we've had good conversation before, so I understand, and this is not a slight against you, but we don't believe in the same Jesus. You believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael, a created being, and that's not at all who Jesus is. He is not just the Son of God. He is God himself. I just read you a verse where all of God dwells inside of him. All of God dwells inside of Jesus. And there's this kind of this backing up. And here's what I want to tell you. I don't want to make it about that. If you believe Jesus is just another good man, you're going to be in bondage to the tradition of men. You're not going to be able to do the impossible things. If you believe Jesus was just a prophet, or that even he was an angel, can we all agree that angels can do some incredible things? But that's not who Jesus is. Angels are created beings. If you believe that Jesus is just an angel, you're still going to limit yourself on the capacity for what God wants to do in your life, never mind the fact that you're not getting to heaven. You must understand that the only one can get to the Father is through Jesus Christ himself. And I asked him that question. I said, well, if you think that Jesus was, because one of the guys says, well, he was just a man that was really good. He's the Son of God. And then other guy said, well, yeah, you're right. I believe he's an angel. And I said, can a man or an angel undo the sin of men? And the answer is no. Only the divine, perfect God could undo and cover over and pay for the sins of men. That's why in Romans it says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, but it adds this to it, but believe in your heart, let me hear you say believe. That God raised him from the dead, then you're saved. So at the level of belief, you can confess, well, that yeah, Jesus is God. But if you don't believe it in your heart, it's going to be empty philosophy. It's going to be a religious doctrine, and it's not going to life change you. You need radical life change that comes from, but I believe in my heart that he is who he says he is and that God raised him from the dead for me. Where's the level of your belief? I feel like the Lord wants to challenge you this morning because he loves you and he looks at you and he sees what is possible in your life, that he created you before he knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you, the plans that he would have for you. And he has such a passion to see that come to fruition. And just like the Nicaraguan people, where this orphan spirit had hovered for too long, but it changed this last week. I'm telling you, on Tuesday night, something shifted in the nation of Nicaragua because a group of leaders came underneath the belief system that God really is who he says he is. He will really do what he wants to do. And he's looking for them to do it. That they are really this, and it was this picture. I kept seeing a big belt buckle, but that didn't translate into the culture. And so a big boxing belt, right? A big championship belt. And in the center of it was this jewel. So much so that I believe what God was going to begin to do in Nicaragua is going to make Costa Rica wonder. Guatemala, wonder. El Salvador, wonder. Make United States, wonder. Brazil, wonder. Like, what is going on there? We thought it was impossible for anything good thing to happen. And suddenly, Jesus is showing up in such a way that radically shifts the country. Shifts the winds of power. Just like what has happened in our country, where there's a radical shift. Like, the tectonic plates are shifting. In the same way, it's going to shift all over the world. I believe the same thing is true of this neighborhood. The Lord is opening up doors to talk to our political leaders in our country, in our city, business leaders, political leaders, church leaders. And I feel like the Lord is saying is we need to challenge each other to raise the level of belief what is possible in this neighborhood. No longer say, well, that's the west side and nothing good happens. That's the west side and it's just a dark place. No, no, no. That's going to be the west side where all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible to those who believe. I thought I was supposed to show you a bunch of scripture, but I'm giving you scripture as I'm preaching. Okay? This is supposed to be a time of impartation for you. If you're willing to raise the level of your belief, transform totally, completely, it's time to drop the old. Let me give you one scripture so we can make this legal. Here we go. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Let's just read this one. This is a good one. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. So he saw people who were hungry, but he also saw a political and religious spirit that were trying to argue with them using human philosophy, traditions of men, is what that verse is talking about. And immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and came running to him and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? The one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who is a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, Faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Jesus was not speaking a condemnation over them, but what I think he's doing is the spirit of the atmosphere, the mindset that they had come underneath, which was not an atmosphere of faith. It was an atmosphere that was very functional in what they did. If you pray like this, then good things are going to happen. And if you just kind of worship like this and you go through all the motions and stuff like that, then and that doesn't require faith necessarily. I believe it does require faith to pray, expecting something to happen, to keep pressing in. But anytime you turn into a functional thing instead of a relational thing, then you've missed out. It's relationship with him that releases heaven. And so look what he says, bring him to me. Verse 20, then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Because Jesus cares. But I'm going to say this, and it's not necessarily because Jesus didn't know. He's wanting to give a demonstration of like, the devil's had this amount of time, we're going to do something that there's a testimony, and everybody understands the testimony. It says this, the father replies, from childhood. And often as he has thrown him both in the fire and to the water to destroy him, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. And look what Jesus says. If you can believe. Let me hear you say, if you can believe. Say it again. If you can believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Where's your level of your faith? It's not something you work up. You could be connected to the Holy Spirit and miss still what's going on if in your heart you put a lid over it and you limit what God wants to do. But he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, repentance, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, I'm having this revelation that what the level that I've believed at is insufficient. Help me raise the bar. So the raising of the bar of your faith is not going to be human effort. It's going to come into agreement with what Jesus is saying. It's going to come out of a relationship with him where the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth, but it's challenging you where you don't settle. You don't settle into this place of like, that's just the way it's going to be. No. Unless we see what Jesus saw in his time where when he laid hands on the sick and they recovered, he opened the eyes of the blind, then we are not seeing the fulfillment of all that Jesus said was possible. Unless we see cities where the social statistics reflect that of heaven, where there's not a crime problem, where there's not a poverty issue, where there's not government that abuses, where there's not businesses that are just trying to struggle through. we must see where there's not families being broken up. This is what we're pressing into, the greater things. What is possible? God wants to transform our city through this. But we must have the same attitude of the Father. I believe you. I believe you are who you say you are. But God, it's going to require something greater than I carry right now. Help my unbelief. Can you cry that out today? Right where you're at, don't compare yourself to anybody else. But what area of your life do you have a certain belief system? But in this moment, Jesus is saying, look, do you believe? And you go, I believe what you're saying is true. But there's still something that's holding me back. Help me raise the bar. And I believe what Jesus is going to do this morning, he's going to go, let's raise that bar. Let's raise it. Wherever you're at. But it's going to be a faith that leads to action. Faith without works is dead. It means that belief without a tangible step afterwards is going to be just fantasy. We're looking for belief that leads to action. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter into him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one that was dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, there's opportunities to turn that into a religious model. Like, unless we pray and we fast, then we're not going to be able to kick the devil out. That's not what Jesus is saying. But what is prayer? Conversation. I hear what the Father's saying. What is fasting? Denying oneself. Denying the traditions of men. Denying my human needs. Because why? Help me with my unbelief. It's intimacy. It's relationship. Prayer and fasting connects you into a relational model with him that the impossible becomes possible. And it begins to flow out of your life. There's another story, and I'm not going to read it to you, but where Darius, a temple leader, comes to Jesus and says, hey, my daughter is sick, and she's got this fever. She's going to die. Would you please come to my house? And so Jesus is walking. And remember, by this time, it said, as the people became running to him, he rebuked the spirit before all the people came around. There's two reasons I think that was. One, he didn't want to get overcome with all the need pressing into him because he had a purpose. But two, I believe that there were people who came with a belief system that would hinder the atmosphere of faith, that would have hindered his ability to heal. And if you don't believe that, read when he went to his hometown. He says he could do no good thing except for to lay hands on a few people because the atmosphere of the city was one of unbelief and disbelief that he really was who he says he was. They looked at him and said, well, that's the son of Joseph. That's the son of Mary. Really? This kid that I grew up with, he's really the Messiah? And that closed off the ability for healing, the atmosphere of healing. So I think as the people are pressing in, Jesus goes, I'm not going to let their unbelief change the atmosphere. Right now, this kid's going to be healed and delivered. And so in the same way he's walking through and the crowds are all around him and they're pressing in, this woman who had had an issue of blood for a number of years, she thinks in her mind, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be made whole. So she reaches out, she describes him, and remember, it's like it's like a Beyonce concert. I mean, the people pressing around him. Like, you know, you're getting touched and bumped around all over the place. Or like the presidential election or the thing where you've got people are gathering around wanting to get in and touch. And so Jesus couldn't tell who touched him, but he feels the power go out from him. And he stops in that moment. He's on his way to go heal Darius' daughter, and he says, who touched me? I felt the power leave from me. And she comes forward and she says, and he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. It's made you whole. It's a word for sozo, healing. That's not just physical healing, but the years of her heart hurt where she felt rejected. The emotional hurt of that, she was made whole in this moment. And why was it? Because she believed that Jesus is who he says he is. And she had the belief that says, if I can just touch him, something's going to happen. Now, I ask you this. In your circumstance, do you have that same level of belief? Do you believe that if you just grab up and touch the hem of his garment, that your situation would be touched and healed? This wasn't a religious leader. There wasn't a worship service. He's walking to a town, and there's lots of people around him. And in that moment, somebody from Darius' household says, well, don't bother the master anymore, the teacher, because your daughter's dead. And Jesus goes, no, she's only asleep. She's only asleep. Do you believe? All you got to do is believe that I'm coming. So sometimes we're praying, and it feels like the answer didn't come right away. And Jesus is asking and saying, hey, no, I'm coming. It's impossible for you to pray, make your request of me, and something not happen. Do you believe? And so they get to the house, and he pushes out all the people who are mourning because their belief system is that it's hopeless and it's dead. And he always takes Peter, James, and John and the parents with him. And he goes up and he says, little girl, wake up. And she comes back to life. Why did he only take a few? Because the atmosphere of belief would have been impacted by the unbelief. And what I'm telling you is I believe the Lord wants to. He can start with a remnant. He does that all the time, but he doesn't want to end with a remnant. I think he's looking for a group of people who will really come underneath this belief system that we begin to infect our city with hope. Not negativity anymore. Like, well, this bad thing's happening and the devil's just winning and this. No, he's not. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do for Lent. Lent being the 40 days before Easter. Starting on March the 1st, going through April the 7th, we're going to do a 40-day negativity fast. And what we're going to do is there's a daily devotion. We'll have the sign up and everything for you. But it's going to challenge you to change the way that you think and make some declarations. Whereas before, we were just talking about earlier, it's just hard to bring the gospel to this place. Well, no, it's not. What if it's easy? But you empower a belief system that's not of heaven when you say it's hard. Versus like, you know what? Nothing's impossible for God. I'm an expert at sharing the gospel. I'm declaring I'm an expert at Spanish. I'm telling you, the Lord has moved on my heart to learn Spanish. And it's not going to be because it's hard and I'm too old to learn it. No, none of that junk. I believe I'm an expert. And I will learn quickly and easily Spanish. I'll learn conversational Spanish. I'll learn the dialects. I'll learn the slang. And it'll be easy. Amen. Ask for anything in my name and I'll do it. Amen. I'll do infinitely more than you might think, ask, or imagine. That sound familiar? The scriptures. Do you believe it? A few people said yes. Legacy Church, do you believe it?
Yes.
Do you believe that nothing's impossible?
Yes.
Do you believe that all things are possible for those who believe
yes.
that he is who he says he is?
Yes.
Then stand up with me. I want you to put your hand over your heart. Father, right now, I just declare over every person in this room, even those who are hearing on the podcast right now, and I declare over you, you are a people who are after God's own heart. You are a people who God is well pleased with. You are a people that were designed for the impossible. You are a people who were designed to release the goodness of God everywhere you go. You are a people who will see people come to the Lord by the thousands. You are a people who will see signs, miracles, and wonders take place as you lay hands on them, as you release a word of faith over them. You are a people who will be the first that go out like the tip of a spear that leads to breakthrough into our city, into our corridor, into our nation, and our world. You are good at family. You are good at relationships. Parents, you are good at parenting your children well. Husbands, you are great at loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, you are amazing at loving your husbands and helping them step into their calling as well. Teenagers, you are not just for tomorrow, but you're for today. Your time is not tomorrow. Your time is now. Children, your time is not tomorrow. It is now. You are made to be world changers. And every promise that God has for you will come to fruition. Because all things are possible to those who believe that God is who he says he is. And I release over you right now his presence. You are a people of encounter. I declare it's easy for you to hear the voice of the Lord and understand what he's saying. I declare it's easy for you to dream with God and carry hope. I declare it's easy for you to interpret dreams. I declare over you that you will have dreams that will impact the impossible in such a way that you bring solutions. When somebody talks about a problem they have, the Lord's going to give you a solution and you're going to be able to release it and it's going to happen. Why? Because you are the children of the Most High King. You have an inheritance. Holy Spirit, we give you permission this week to raise the bar. We cry out and say, we believe you are who you say are, but help us in those areas of unbelief. And we ask you, Lord, raise the bar of our belief till there's no bar left. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Give him a shout of praise. So we're going to activate you into what we just talked about. If you have a prayer need for anything whatsoever, our prayer team, ministry team, wants to pray with you. We believe there's no impossibility. Don't leave here without being prayed for if you have a major prayer need. And we're going to believe that we're going to see more and more and more breakthroughs. Otherwise, you guys have a wonderful week. Enjoy the time here just fellowshipping. We love you guys. See you Wednesday night.